From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of February, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And then later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the chair of the Federal Reserve says interest rates will need to stay historically low, and farmers in Europe are just saying no to GMO crops, but the rest of the world is saying yes. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories, and then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City as we finish up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished higher. The nearby March contract, settlement price at $5.25 for the soft red, up 8.5 cents. May at 5.13¾, 8 higher. And July wheat at 5.26¼, up 8 cents. The hard red July in Kansas City settled 6.5 cents higher at $5.27. Back in Chicago from the corn pit nearby March, a lead option settlement price 7.5 cents higher in the corn at $3.75¼. May at $3.86¼, up 7.5, and July at $3.96¾, up 7.5 cents. September contract at $4.03½, up 7. December futures $4.09½, 6.5 higher. March soybean futures 9.55½, up 3. The May at 9.63, 3.5 higher. July at 9.70½, up a nickel. And the August beans at 9.66, up 4¾. September at 9.49, up 6¼. And the November futures at 6.34¾, 7.5 cents higher on the day. Bean meal finished the March at 276.90, down 270. The March bean oil at 39.05, up 74 cents. February live cattle 2.5 cents higher at $91.77½ on the day. March feeders at 101.15, unchanged. And the April lean hogs at $70.35. finished the day 90 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures nearby contract, that's the April at $79.83, 97 cents higher. March ethanol at $1.71¾, down a tenth of a cent, or rather down a penny for the day. Natural gas at $4.81¾, that's 3¼ cents higher. RBOB at $2.09¾, up 2¼ cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 0.7 cents higher at $2.03¾. Let me go back to the crude oil. It was up 97 cents at $79.83, not down 2. And the ethanol at 171¾ was up 1 cent for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,346. That's just about 66 points higher. The U.S. dollar currently trading just about unchanged at 80.84 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, he says lake effect snow warning is in effect for LaPorte and Stark counties in northwestern Indiana. That until 6 a.m. tomorrow. And for Lake and Porter counties in northwestern Indiana from noon today through noon tomorrow. A lake effect snow advisory in effect for Pulaski County in northwestern Indiana until 7 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow, and for Jasper County in northwestern Indiana, that through noon tomorrow. Now here's the weather forecast for tonight in far western Illinois. Partly cloudy skies, says Mr. Kieser. Elsewhere in Illinois, mostly cloudy, scattered snow showers, some flurries. In northwestern Indiana, locally heavy lake effect snow squalls. Elsewhere in Indiana, cloudy, some snow showers. Lows will range from 2 in northwestern Illinois to 22 in southern Indiana. And then tomorrow in western Illinois, mostly sunny skies in eastern Illinois and west central and southwestern Indiana. Mostly cloudy, some scattered flurries. In northern and eastern Indiana, cloudy and snow showers. Highs tomorrow from 23 in far northern Illinois to around 40 in the extreme south. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Wednesday afternoon, time to check the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services is with us from Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
More green on the screen today. That was the case on Monday and a little turnaround yesterday, but things are feeling a bit nicer in Chicago. Do you think that will last?
Well, definitely the market is seeing a short covering in the marketplace. We did see a good crude oil rally today. Funds would like to be buyers, at least that's what some of the think tank people are. Historically, March 1st is a kind of a cycle area to look for as far as buying in the corn market's concerned. We know that Iraq is in the wheat market to buy some world origin wheat. Our general impression is that we are looking at a very large soybean production in South America. We know that we're going to see probably 7 million more acres going into some sort of production here in the U.S. And as a result of that, it's going to be interesting to see how the government handles the final production number in March, the planting intentions report late in the month. Our indications are that the American farmer is going to, if planting started today, would probably up soybean acreage some, but we would still have a very large corn acreage as well.
You started with the idea that there was short covering in the marketplace. Generally, that means that there's not fresh buying, although you suggested they were possibly looking for some fresh buying. Are you not convinced at this point that the market is moving? And I guess,
well, the official
you think
computer
it's neutral
trend
at this point?
Is still short
right.
Corn, wheat, and soybeans. So, the official trend is still down. The market has seen some indications of spreading going on, and the general belief that maybe corn prices at $3.50 is a little too cheap at this time, but still the marketplace doesn't want to pay $4 for cash corn.
Do you think it will later on in the year? Are producers better off to think about these levels as a good place to think at pricing out new crop?
Well, our basic opinion is that the American farmer does have a ton of corn, and they have a lot of expenses of drying and holding and storing and a lot of sweat in that crop. And my general hunch is that it's going to be sometime in the July time frame or August, some sort of a weather market situation that would make that $4 cash corn come around.
Okay, so let's talk about usage for ethanol just a bit. Usage, according to USDA, is going to be up in this coming marketing year. It is certainly higher for this marketing year. Those things are, some of them are by default, some of that is not, something around 100 million. There have been some ideas that corn and crude are connected occasionally, and that you can roughly divide the price of crude and then take that and make that corn. So crude at $80 is $40, and then you lop a zero off and you get $4 corn in Chicago. We're below that at this point. Is that simply the excess corn that's in the marketplace? And if so, how quickly can we use that up and come back to a ratio that might give us that 2-to-1?
I think two things here. I think when we talk to the think tank people and form of Sparks, we ask them about feed usage.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I'm at these Outlook meetings, I hear the word hog liquidation out there. And they said they're very comfortable with this 5.5 5 billion, 500 million usage, which is a little under what the government's talking about. The ethanol at 4.3 is pretty much in the market. They're basically thinking that the exports, though, are 100 to maybe even 200 million overestimated. When we ask why exports are so bad, it's two things. The quality of Argentine's crops better. We got a lot more cheap feed out in the world market. And as a result of that, the think tank people, instead of saying a carryover of 1719, it's closer to 1919. And we know we still have a farmer out here that's a strong holder of corn. And if we come in balloon acreage up next year to, 89.9 or something like that, we are going to, increase corn carryover next year as well. So we do have enough corn, but our opinion goes like this, that if the farmer's willing to plant more acres of soybeans, in the Midwest, won't that mean that the marketplace, the function of the marketplace, is going to get the bean price down cheap enough to where we don't balloon bean acres up next year 2 to 3 million acres or four because of all these extra acres that are coming into production from wheat and CRP? Mm-hmm. So that's the real dilemma in the marketplace. And that's one reason why we really think that any bean bull out there needs to be asked another question: where are you going to put your stops if you're still bullish beans? And that's the important equation that I think you need to we need to leave with, because the bean crop is going to balloon if we don't put some of the brakes on as far as producing too many acres here in North America.
Okay, we'll leave soybeans there. I do have one other question on the corn.
Sure.
So if the thought is that the American farmer owns a lot of corn, why did it not come? And then on the other hand, most will say it's gone out of condition. It's being put into the marketplace quicker than it has. Is it that there's an awful lot of good condition corn from that record-breaking crop that was harvested last year that's still in the bin?
I think the government, basically, the issue about we didn't know the test weight, I think that each state, factors in and weighs the corn and understands that issue. I think it was a lot of the non-traditional corn belt that had these bin-busting yields, and my idea is the triple-stack corn probably paid off in dollars in those areas. The other factor is, as far as the yield and the test weight and quality, that is a problem down the road. And a lot of that damaged corn will either be stored in that 2 billion bushel carryover and marketed in the next year. That's a basis and carry and money situation, and I don't think the typical guy needs to worry too much about it, because the bottom line is that the corn carryover is going to balloon and explode, and it means we're going to have some cheap prices maybe this year and maybe in the next year as well, unless we have some new demand program on the horizon.
Paul Cooley, I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you can find out all the details of our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. It's March the 9th. And you can find an 800 number to call and pre-register. Pre-registration ends this Friday, so do that now. WILLAG.org. Dave Dickey is here now with all the day's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke today says that the U.S. economy still needs record low interest rates for at least several months because the recovery from a deep recession is expected to be slow. The jobs market is expected to remain weak and inflation subdued over the next couple of years. Bernanke made his comments today in his semi-annual monetary policy testimony to Congress, The Fed chief says that the U.S. Central Bank is actively looking at what tools to use once the economy will need higher rates. U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lisa Jackson on Tuesday defended the agency's decision to go forward with regulating greenhouse gases, affirming her support for studies that say that the climate is changing because of human activity. Jackson also emphasized that new regulations to limit emissions from power plants and other stationary sources would be phased in, giving Congress time to write laws instead. And the APA still plans to finalize those regulations in March, though a delay in the effectiveness of the rules will give companies time to plan for new regulations in the event that Congress does not act. The EPA chief portrayed her decision to delay the start of rules to 2011 as responding to lawmakers, quote, of my own party, who fear that EPA rules will damage their local economies. Led by U.S. producers, 14 million farmers around the world planted genetically modified crops last year, increasing planted biotech cropland by 7%, even as biotech crop use declined in Europe. The International Service for the Acquisition of Agribiotech Applications says expansions were noted for biotech soybeans, corn, and cotton. ISAAA, which annually assesses the use of genetically modified crops, says farmers in 25 countries last year planted 134 million hectares of biotech crops in 25 countries, up from 13.3 million farmers and 125 million hectares in 2008. ISAAA says that 13 million of the 14 million farmers were small and resource-poor farmers from developing countries. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, and he sets up the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's no easy task, especially when you put together such a great lineup of folks. They include Sue Martin, Chip Flory, Steve Freed, and Glenn Ring. If you'd like to come see them and many more, you can do that on the 9th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We don't require that you pre-register, but it's probably a good idea. You can call now at 800-528-7980. The cost is just $20 and includes the continental breakfast in the morning, the Beef House lunch at noon, and a great all-day Ag Outlook show from Illinois Public Media. Again, the phone number to call, 800-528-7980. Now for something completely different from Gary Crawford at USDA in Washington, D.C. He says people say the darndest things, but that they also ask the darndest questions about food.
Questions and answers. They've been the cornerstone of many popular quiz shows. And, of course, one of the most famous started back in the late 40s.
You Bet Your Life, starring the one and only Groucho Marx.
Here's the question for $30. What is the name of the second president of the United States?
The second president?
Yes, and I'll give you a hint. His first name was George.
George Washington.
I'm sorry, it's John Adams.
But you told her the first name was George.
I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Of course, Groucho's job was to ask the questions, which usually were nonsense, but there are some folks whose job every day is to answer questions, serious questions, some of which do turn out to be nonsense nonetheless.
It runs the gamut as far as what kind of questions I get. It's really fun.
That's Kansas State University Extension food scientist Karen Blakesley. Her job is to answer questions from folks all over her state, and over the years, she's been asked some pretty interesting ones dealing with everything from food safety to cooking questions to food preservation. And she's had to deal with quite a few kind of oddball questions. For example...
This one's kind of disgusting, but...
These guys have been out hunting and... had shot a wild turkey one day and left it out and hadn't decided to dress it or cook it until the next day, and they wanted to know if it was still okay.
Which can be a food safety issue on that, and who knows what could grow at those temperatures in there. So That one I told them they better not eat their turkey.
And along the same track?
Somebody wanted to know how to cook crow meat.
Karen had to do a bit of research on that one.
I found some recipes where they use, it's the breast of the crow that can be used. I'd rather see them use chicken instead.
And now on to the vegetable question. Here's one I've always wondered about. Yeah, right.
Are there male and female green peppers? This person found a recipe that specifically called for female green peppers. And according to our horticulturists, there's no difference. They're all in one.
We don't want to give the impression, though, that Karen Blakeslee only deals with quirky questions. She has to answer some serious food safety questions that could affect the health of many, many people. But then there are those other questions.
I get some good ones.
I'll bet. What a job. In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural cash grain markets. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's switch it up just a bit and start with your numbers there in Delphi and what kind of prices you have for the day.
Yeah, for the next couple of days of February, we're at 370. March, that bumps up to 372. And then Delphi beans at 955 for Feb March.
All right, so you've got some awfully good prices. You're either at even for the soybeans, which is actually we're on and over for the soybeans in the nearby by about, 20 cents recently, I think. And you're pretty close to even with corn. How far off are we now? Not but a couple of cents, I would think.
Yeah, three under for the first half of the month. We got March split up to the first half, last half, and actually the last half is two over. So there's some decent carry built into this market just for holding it another 15 to 20 days.
All right. So why is that the case for corn and soybeans if there's so much negativity in the marketplace that you've got cash prices that are pushing higher?
Well, we, as an elevator of the plant here, we are planning on trying to be filled up by the end of March. So April 1st, we went filled up. And there's enough spot corn moving that we're trying to encourage guys to hold it off until the last half of the month. So we are full on April 1st as the guys start to head to the field.
So you're preparing for the planting season. But in the soybean side, you're just short of soybeans, I would assume, across most of the Midwest.
That's the case. And with the bean processors being in our marketplace, being in the high teens, close to 20 over, Delphi is just staying competitive at a option price type of number.
All right. What are your expectations for the coming week then?
You know, we're going to continue to see, I think, corn being sold here. We did get to a point yesterday where cash beans were $10. So the beans, guys who want to move beans have moved beans. I think that's going on the back burner, and corn's going to be really the story as this week has showed some pretty positive gains. There's still a decent amount of corn that wants to move and needs to move before guys head to the field, and I just see that to say the story of the day until we talk next week.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
And that are the folks from the Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Matt Blaisdell joined us each and every Wednesday right here on the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media to take a look at the cash grain market. In just 2 minutes, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will be here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Pat Quinn is considering cutting $2.2 billion from next year's budget, but that would still leave Illinois with a nearly $11.5 billion deficit. That's according to preliminary budget information released today by Quinn's office. The deficit would include making about $4 billion in pension payments next year to the state's underfunded retirement plans. The early budget documents from Quinn's office don't include the income tax increase that Quinn still supports. Instead, it relies on improved income and sales tax collections. Quinn's budget office has launched a website that lets people get a close-up look at the state's finances. The website comes as the governor's under pressure to detail how he fixed the state's finances in his March 10th budget address to lawmakers. The superintendent of the Champaign School District will get a one-year extension of his contract. The Unifor School Board cast a 4-3 vote yesterday in favor of the additional year for Arthur Culver's contract, despite controversy over the past couple of years over the length of that contract. But Board President Dave Tomlinson, who had voted against contract extensions in the past, says Culver deserved consideration this year for his work in ending the district's consent decree. But Tomlinson says Culver has decided against a pay raise this year. Champaign City Council members will start the process of finding a new member after one of the newest members resigns next week. Councilman Dave Johnson says he's moving out of Champaign to take a new job in Cleveland. He was elected last April. Council members will fill the post through the next consolidated election in 2011, when voters will pick somebody to fill the remaining 2 years. Researchers at the U of I in Urbana-Champaign are getting $226,000 to look at the effect housing assistance and instability has on children's health. The grant from the MacArthur Foundation will be used to produce a base of evidence to show how housing affects children. And officials are considering pyrotechnics and even lasers to shoo away thousands of crows, making a mess around the annual roost in Terre Haute. Researchers estimate at least 32,000 of them have landed this winter around the downtown. I'm Tom Rogers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Wednesday afternoon, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated is here to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, let's start with the Midwest. It's cold, and a whole lot colder, I think, than it's supposed to be.
It is. It is. And it's part of the same long winter that we've had been dealing with for quite some time here. And I don't know that that I can give you a whole lot of good news, except for it is going to warm up here, and we are going to start the spring meltdown. But that could lead to some new problems. Of course, we've got so much snow on the ground across the Dakotas and Minnesota, Wisconsin, and parts of Iowa that we're going to have to sit back and wait for that snow to melt, and there's going to most likely be a little bit of a flooding problem on our hands as well. And so we may still have problems to deal with before we can get out there and start working in some of these fields, even though it may not be as cold as it has been. But today is definitely, today and tomorrow actually, will be the two coldest days I think that we'll have in front of us for a couple of weeks. We should see milder weather. Unfortunately, when it does start to warm up, it will also turn a little bit wetter, especially in our second week of the two-week outlook, starting about the 4th of March and going out through the 10th. And that raises a lot more concern, not only because we want to get out there and start working some of these fields, but it also raises the concern that we're going to add new moisture to the runoff from the melting snow, and the flood could get a little bit more severe. And there's a lot of worry about that, especially in the northern plains and parts of the upper Mississippi River Basin, even parts of the Missouri Basin is going to all be involved with this this larger flood event potentially, and that could keep us out of the field for a while. And even down in the Delta in the southeastern states, there's some concern there because it's been so cool and moist, and normally they're out there working some of these fields, and they usually start planting corn aggressively already in the first week of March, and there's a lot of talk that they won't be able to do that this year.
All right, so we'll leave them out of the field, and I've heard it looks like maybe they're going to get back in the field in South America. What do you see for them?
Yes, Argentina, you got deluges of rain last weekend and really put them in a position where there was a lot of concern about the early corn and sunseed crops with a quality problem for some of that sunseed. But it stopped raining almost as quickly as the weekend came to an end, and I think we'll stay dry now all the way through at least the first part of next week, Sunday for sure, and maybe linger a little bit into early next week. That drier bias will come with a return of warmer than normal temperatures perhaps, so eventually they'll be in a much better position once again. I don't think we did any harm to the crop with the deluge that occurred last weekend, but there was a lot of worry put into the market all of a sudden. Now in Brazil, the situation's a little bit different. It's still wet there. It's been wet forever, it seems like, and quite a bit of the soybean country. The forecast offers more rain there, and there is still worry in the market that we're going to have a wet harvest. But every time that is said, you have to turn around and look at the statistics so far, and they're way ahead on all the harvest activity. So a little setback here or there or yon is not necessarily going to cause a major problem.
In China, they'll be warming up from one end of that nation to the other, south to north, for their planting season. How's it setting up?
The planting season for corn usually begins in southern parts of China here in early March, and the same is true for rice and cotton. The soil temperature is going to be a little bit low still for cotton, but I think for the rice and corn, we'll be able to start seeing some field work probably in about a week to 10 days, if not sooner than that.
Drew, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He's been with us here on the Closing Mark Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Wednesday afternoon, I'm Todd Gleason.